to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 Story City, Ames, and the surrounding area. This is Shout Out Wednesday, the day when Local Talk features the people, stories, and events from our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hi, Paul.
Well, good morning, Susan, and all you listeners out there, too.
I'm delighted that you've come up from Story City, Paul, to co-host with me, because you're always a great fan of movies shown in local theaters, which is the topic I hope to explore through our shout-out call-ins today.
Oh, yes, it's a great topic for call-in because it includes both nostalgia and news about present importance of small theaters and how they're surviving. Now, it's very personal to me because I started seeing movies at the Story City Opera House when I was just a little boy. And in retirement, I'm not only going to the movies, but volunteering for activities there at the theater, like the Story Festival and the annual stage musical production during Scandinavian Days. To really hear how that developed, as is developing, you need to hear from Todd Thorson.
We better hear from him at the end of the show, or you guys will talk about the Story City Opera House for the whole hour.
Yes, very possible. Okay, it looks like we'd better get started now, and we'll be accepting calls here at KHOI at 515-232-0365.
But before we begin, we need to make sure our callers know the shout-out ground rules, otherwise known as FCC regulations, because our license is non-commercial, educational, like public radio. We can't have commercials, and our announcement of events can't even mention the price of admission. That means if you call in to announce a play or a movie showing, you can tell us how to get ticket information, even give us a number to call to order tickets, but you can't say the amount or the words free or fundraiser. It's not too hard if you can just remember.
Well, those FCC government regulations always seem to get in the way, but I guess we couldn't hear anything without somebody managing the airwaves, so thank God for the FCC.
Well, they gave us our license. Just to get started, I'd like to do a recap of how movies have affected our lives over the past 75 years by looking at one very special movie, a movie which was personally special to me, like probably millions of other people. It was released in 1939 as one of the full-length Technicolor movies. It was one of the very first. And when I was a child in the 1940s, I saw it as a feature film in the movie theater, the Junction Theater, across the street from where I lived in Junction City, Kansas. By 1960, when my children were little, it was occasionally still shown in movie theaters, but mostly it was available as an annual event shown on TV. Since we had black and white TV, we took our kids to Grandma's house to see it in color. By the 1970s, we went to a bar in Campustown here in Ames where we could watch it on a big screen TV, probably 45 inches, during its annual showing. And there it began to be a little cult thing. There were a lot of people who came to see The Wizard of Oz. By its 50th anniversary in 1989, the DVD of The Wizard of Oz became available, since many families had stopped going to movie theaters very often, and it was no longer shown annually on TV. I happened to return to my hometown at about that time, on the very day that the wrecking balls were demolishing the Junction Theater.
Well, that's a pretty grim story, for one. I think it's safe to say that just about everyone knows about The Wizard of Oz, probably thanks to television.
Yes, but the theaters themselves are important as places to gather and as symbols of community vitality, which is the shout-out story for today. We have our first caller. So who do we have for our first caller today?
This is Larry with the Camelot Theater, now known as the Talent Factory in Nevada, Iowa.
Oh, well, you have a real story to tell. What's your shout-out?
Well, my wife and I, just about 2 years ago in November, bought the Camelot Theater in Nevada. And, of course, the Camelot is a wonderful historic building here in the what was, or still is, the county seat for Story County. And though the building was built in 1928 by Oscar Strine, the foundations go back to 1875. So there's a wonderful history here. The theater was built originally for vaudeville, for theater acts, as well as the new picture plays that were coming out. That's their term originally for movie theater. It was a picture play. So we fell in love with it and saw it was sitting in some disrepair and kind of falling apart in the inside. The place was beautiful, but it definitely needed a lot of tender, loving care, a little TLC.
So you had a historic building to restore. Now, what did you say the original name of it was?
Well, the original name was actually the Circle Theater. It was named that by Oscar Strine. There were actually two other theaters in town that it put out of business, but it was just such a luxurious, almost opulent back in the day. It was the showplace of Central Iowa. It's a wonderful 440 seat theater. The balcony had reclining seats. They were the first reclining seats west of the Mississippi. It was really built for comfort. It's gorgeous inside. It was remodeled back in the 70s when Friedley took it over. And Friedley, of course, did it to a movie only format back then. And they held on to it until 2002. So it's had a good long run.
So when they gave it up in 2002, then what happened? You didn't buy it right away, right?
No, it went through actually several owners. Friedley deeded it back to the city of Nevada. And the city of Nevada looked at it and evaluated it and said, gee, you know, it's going to need too much renovation. So the city then in turn sold it to a guy named Rob Bacon, who eventually became one of the state congressmen, state senators. And Rob ran it for several years and then tried to do movies. With the large theaters in Ames and the large multiplexes, it became very difficult to get first-run movies and make it affordable. Plus, the rates that movie theaters have to pay for their movies not only is just a base rate, but it's a rate that is sliding, because if the rate you paid to get the film is less than what you take in through the door, then they take 50% of what comes in through the door. So it's a very tough business. And well, that's one of the reasons why some of the concession prices are so high in large theater complexes, is they have to offset that take from the producers and the original companies, the distribution companies.
Does that mean you're not showing first-run movies there anymore?
No, we don't, actually. We did some. We tried some and found the rates we had to pay were just tough to make it on. So now what we do is we're a live entertainment venue. We have magicians. We have comedians, ventriloquists, hypnotists. We had a psychic in just recently and a wonderful show. She came in and she read the building for us and really told us some stuff that, you know, nobody else really knew. So that was very interesting. And on occasions to private companies and such, we do allow them to show a movie, you know, to their own people. It's a private show. But we do have the capabilities to show digital films or digital DVDs and Blu-ray and such as that.
Well, that's an interesting mix of ways to use the old building. And it sounds like anyone who's interested in the theater and how to make use of it should probably contact you.
Yeah, of course, it was originally, again, the Circle Theater. Then it became the Camelot when Friedley got it. It is still the Camelot building, but the Talent Factory is the company that we own and now owns the building. And they can get to us at www.iowatalentfactory.com.
Okay.
Go to our website and see everything that we're showing in there.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Larry.
Well, now, Susan, this is just a great thing.
Yeah.
And very interesting from Larry. I remember going to the old Circle Theater when I was over in Nevada for the 4-H fair. We'd walk uptown and go to the Circle Theater. And as I remember, there are sparkling stars in the ceiling or some sort of ornate stuff going on there. And I just wonder if that ceiling is still intact, because I remember going into that theater and seeing movies, and I was so fascinated as a boy of that beautiful, blinking and sparkling scene that's still imbued in my memory.
Well, Larry says it's still there.
Oh, good, good.
I think it's time to fade out the music. It looks like we have another caller on the line.
Hi, this is Sherry Rojas, and I'm calling from Webster City.
Wow. Well, I recently read an article in the Ames Trib about your theater. Sounds like you have a real story to tell.
It's been a pretty exciting time up here, and we just opened our doors 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, it's been a wild ride, and the whole community has gotten behind reopening the theater, anything that's very exciting for us.
I think you need the backstory on that. What happened to the theater? Why was it closed? What happened to Webster City? Not everybody would know.
Well, the first thing that happened is that we lost a major employer, and hundreds of people were out of jobs. And in a town of about 8,000, when you lose a business that size, then it starts to affect your Main Street businesses as well, because people don't have money to spend. And so a year and a half ago, the theater filed bankruptcy and closed. And so it was one of 12 empty storefronts on Main Street. And I think the closure of the theater was like the final straw for some people. And they just decided that Webster City was not going to be written off as dying. I believe there was a TV station in Des Moines that actually reported that Webster City was dying, and that kind of fed into this. And so a group of people formed a nonprofit board to see if they couldn't buy the theater and get it reopened. And the name of the board is HERO, Help Entertain and Restore Organization. And we've had heroes all across Webster City at all levels. People have donated time and talent and money. And the first big thing was they restored the marquee, and it's just gorgeous. And then on the 19th, we opened our doors.
And what was the first movie that you showed?
We showed Guardians of the Galaxy in 3D.
3D, so you really moved upscale right away, right?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the backstory of why these Main Street single-screen theaters are closing. I mean, the owners have come to a crossroads where they either have to invest, you know, $250,000, or they have to close their doors, because for a while the movie studios made their shows, continued to make them available on film, but now you cannot get a show on film. You have to have digital capabilities, and the projector itself was $90,000. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of scary. And so if you don't have 8,000 people in Webster City, everybody putting in their dollars and pennies and everything they have, you can't have the kind of money it takes to reopen it.
Who did you buy it from?
We bought it from the bank. Wells Fargo had it.
I see.
We made some phone calls, and so we were able to get it at a very good price. You know, it took a while, but we were able to get it, and that was the first big step. And a lot of people were like, I don't know if you can do it. Well, we have, and so now the next thing is, will they continue to support it by coming? And your earlier guest was talking about the price of getting the movies and the price of concessions. And we're really trying hard not to price gouge, to make it not just affordable to be here, but really also to have an atmosphere where people go, that's where I want to go on Friday or Saturday night or on Sunday. We're showing a family movie through tomorrow night, Dolphin Tale 2. And the turnout from the community has just been astoundingly supportive. And so that makes us real hopeful that we're going to be able to keep this thing open and going.
Well, this sounds like a really heroic story. So thank you so much for telling us this, Carrie. Do you have any more questions you'd like to ask?
Well, I just wanted to clarify. It's mostly volunteers who do all the work up there. Is that right? And that keeps it open?
It was volunteers who raised the money, and the board is a volunteer board, but we have paid staff now.
That's great. That's
yeah,
great.
And that's one of the things that the board wanted, was to create jobs. And I think we can do it. I mean, you know, we're looking at the cash flow, and I think we can do it. But, you know, it's still early days. We've been open 3 weeks. But I think that it's going to go. It's pretty exciting, and the community is really behind it. And truly the experience of coming to a movie here compared to coming to a movie at a multiplex, it's a completely different experience. We have the largest screen in Iowa in a single screen theater, and our facility is clean. It's, you know, a whole Art Deco feel as you walk in. Our employees are in uniforms, and it really is like a step back in time to that graciousness that they talked about at the Circle Theater and at the Camelot. I mean, and that's an experience worth experiencing. And if you have to wait a week to see a movie so that you can have that experience, we're really hopeful that families will do that.
Well, thank you. That sounds great. Now, we'll have to hang up and keep our lines open for the next caller. We're hoping maybe some will call in that we don't even know about.
Wouldn't that be a great surprise?
Right.
You know, it's just wonderful that they have. I'm trying to picture those people at the theater in uniform. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen an usher in uniform. That must be a nice touch up there. And yeah. I'm so hopeful that will fly in Webster City. And right now, it sounds like the community is really behind that. They're booking movies that are family-oriented, so they're going to have a wide base of people to come. And I hope the people of Webster City really see that this is not only a theater, but also a symbol of recovery and sustaining a community after a profound cultural shock with a large employer closing down. So sounds to me like Webster City is signing on to this project, and the theater has every possibility of being a success. And I really am behind that whole idea, so thank you, Carrie. That was a wonderful, wonderful story.
Yes.
Far across the distance and spaces between us, you have come to show you. Go on.
It was. Do we have another caller?
Yes, this is Wayne from Boone.
Hello.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for calling. So, do you have a theater story to tell?
I do. My wife and I, we recently purchased the Boone Theater. We're located at 818 Story Street, right on Main Street in Boone. I was in the military for 37 years, and I recently retired. So now I'm into the movie business full-time. Neither one of us had any clue how to run a movie theater, so we did some calling. We talked to Jim Davies down at the Hampton at the Windsor Theater and got some tips from him, and so we kind of got going. We had a 35-millimeter projector when we first started. Brenda works at Hy-Vee. She's a morning cook over there. So neither one of us really had time to spin film or anything, so we decided to take the big plunge right off the bat and get the digital picture. And, you know, it's tough to try to sell. The Boone Theater was owned by a big movie company out of Bethany, Missouri. They went bankrupt, and the movie theater kind of was open, and it was closed for a couple of years. It was kind of off and on, and finally it was sitting empty for about a year or so. And then, Brenda and I decided that might be something we'd be interested in after I retired. And it's kind of exciting. It's a challenge, like Larry and Carrie said. The movie company, they'd get a percentage of your ticket sales, so basically you're relying on the concessions to make your profits and stuff. And, some people buy concessions and some people don't. So one of the things that we're looking at doing here in the near future is we're going to expand our seating area in our movie theater. And then we're looking at putting a booth-type sitting in the back, three rows of booth-type sitting. So, and we're going to start serving sandwiches like hamburgers and fries and fast food, nacho cheese, some different things to give us a little bit more flexibility in what we're serving the people. You know, and I think it's important that the small downtown theaters stay alive, because it just gives the small communities a quality of life that I think we've lost over the years and stuff with these big cinema complexes. So,
yeah, I agree, Wayne. I think you're really making quite a contribution, number one, in keeping the theater open. Number two, you're being creative. You know, what you're describing is a lot of food that you can have that's not normally part of a movie concession. So that's very creative. And just tell me what kind of response you're getting, what kind of attendance is going on, and how you feel about the community's reaction now.
It's kind of hit and miss. When we first started, we were kind of like hit and miss with a lot of movies. A few movies we had maybe 15 people for the whole entire week. You know, and some movies you get, you pack the house out. And we do some first runs. We do, we've tried four or five first run movies. The problem with that is, Larry and Carrie were saying, the movie company pay like 65% of your ticket sales when you do a first run movie. So it takes a lot of your profit out right there. We try to keep everything family oriented. We stay away from R-rated movies as much as possible. I think we've only played one R-rated movie since we've been open, but otherwise we try to keep everything pretty much family oriented. We try to mix the films up based on what's out in the last month or so. We try to stay within 3 to 4 weeks of what's of a new release, so we can get it at a lower price. We seem to be doing pretty good with the older couple, keeping everybody, the older crowd, keeping them happy. We haven't really hit the teenage crowd yet, but our main audience right now, we're seeing is about age 30 to 60. That's probably our main. We do get some teenagers, but that's mainly our main age group that's been attending lately. So see a lot of repeat customers coming back. So I think everybody's excited that we're there. It's just just a matter of picking the right movies. So,
well, I think you're doing a good job. Number one, you've got the custom established and reestablished of people coming to a movie theater and seeing a show. You've got your core audience because you're saying that you've seen some of the same faces come back. Mm-hmm. And you're picking movies with an ear and an eye to seeing what can be done to bring in an audience in the town you are familiar with. So I think you're doing some very creative things, and you're doing some things that are going to benefit you in the long run. And I really, really hope that's successful over there. You know, I am, all in talking to you and also the other theater people who've called in, it is disparaging to think that the movie industry and the studios are not doing more to make this amenable to those operators still left out there. I would hope that they would reevaluate that and make it easier for you to maintain a theater just for the sake of their own industry, if nothing else. It seems very short-sighted. So I credit you, Wayne, for soldiering on in what might be called a hostile environment. You know, so my congratulations to you for doing this.
Thank you. Yeah, we're excited about it. So
that's a great venture. Thank you so much. And we'll just say goodbye and for this morning, and we need to open our lines again.
Susan, it's time for a station break.
Yes, it is.
We got to be legal here on
FCC,
right?
That's right.
We're here on Community Radio, KHOI, 89.1, Story City, Ames, and surrounding area, and reminding you that this is Shout Out Wednesday, the day when local talk features the people, stories, and events from our seven-county listening area of central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Paul Wearson, together with my co-host, the wonderful Susan Franson, and we'll be waiting for call-ins at 515-232-0365. We can play some music. I'm really in love with some of this movie music. I love movie music.
We have a caller from Jefferson in Greene County, Chris Henning, who is telling us about the new Sierra Theater there, which has just celebrated its second anniversary.
And we are showing first-run movies and movies daily on big screen digital 7.1 surround sound, and we even have matinees on Saturday and Sunday.
Wow, that really harks back, because I remember those Saturday matinees. And you have a lot of people who come to the matinees?
It depends on the movie, what kind of crowd you get, whether it is us oldsters out to see a 100-foot journey just recently, or whether it is the latest version of Hunger Games or the Twilight series or The Hobbit. And we do midnight movies if it warrants it, or 10 o'clock p.m. if the studios will let us, and all sorts of fun things. So are really, really happy with the way things have turned out.
Well, you said you were community-owned. Now, did you have a long period that where you didn't have a movie theater like Boone and like Webster City, or how did that go for you?
Actually, we worked with the previous owners, the Fridleys, and we set a date, got things all squared around for the upgrade, and we were in the changeover from 35mm to digital. We were down a whole 3 days. So, no, we didn't have a very long blackout period, and we opened Twilight within 10 days of coming up into the digital world. So it was pretty exciting.
Oh, yes. Now, it sounds, though, like you must have huge audience support there in Jefferson?
We have really good community support. We were able to get bridge financing and then do a pledge drive and raise the funds to put in all that new equipment.
Well, congratulations, and I'm so happy for you. Yes, we are so happy for you. Is that right, Paul?
Well, I'd like to congratulate you because we've heard some really scary numbers on how much that equipment costs. So you must really have had a successful fund drive and pledge drive there in Jefferson. Congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, the equipment runs somewhere in the neighborhood of $85,000. And including the silver screen, we chose 3D. So anytime there's a movie available in 3D, we work hard to get that.
I say that
we are much less expensive than places like Ames and
you're reasonably
and
priced.
Well, that probably helps with the audience. It's really great. So, well, thank you so much, Chris, for calling in and telling us your inspiring story.
Thank you.
Now, we have some movie music.
Oh, good.
Yes, we do. We have movie music that was played for the recent event in Story City, where we had both the musical Tarzan and during the same weekend, people could see the movie. Yeah. Did you have anything to do with that?
Well, I tell you what, it's all my friends on stage, and they did a marvelous production of Tarzan, and the music was great. I didn't know that much about the show, and I was really impressed by the music, so I am really glad we're playing something from Tarzan. It's just a fun show. We had a full house for that, and it was a big production at Story City at Scandinavian Days, and I just love that music, so I'm all ears if we're going to play something from Tarzan. Glad you're up at this hour. Theater people are night people. Much praise to you for being up in the morning. Of course, you're running newspaper, too. Well, Todd, we have a great story in Story City, ironically. And you might give our audience a little background on our fabulous Story Theater and Opera House up there at Story City.
Well, we're winding down our 100th year of operating. It was built in 1913, and we've been celebrating all year with some various things going on. And it's the unique thing about the Story Theater is that it's never closed all these 100 years. So we're pretty proud of that. And it's been nice listening to the other theaters. I'm so happy that these smaller town theaters are making a go of it. So we're going to try to do the same here.
Yeah, it's wonderful that you've never closed. And Todd and I have done dog and pony shows up there. We've given tours of the fabulous Story Theater and Opera House. And during that time, I always mentioned that my mother was going to silent movies there in the 20s. And for me to still be going to movies there and the theater never having closed, well, that's a real chain of events that's to be envied. Todd, you might tell a little bit about what the chain of events was, that how you came to own the theater. It's kind of an interesting story.
Yeah, it's the long history of the theater. There's actually been about only 12 or 13 owners in its 100 years. And I took over from the Peterson family, Dick and Virgil, two brothers that were bachelors that came with their folks in 1946. And after Dick had been in the war, and they operated it through 1983 when I took over. And I, you know, started helping out there in high school and showed an interest in it, I guess, and went off to college. One day Dick gave me a call, and he was kind of wanting to know if I'd be interested in taking over. And in the process of time, Judge Stories was also starting out, getting going. And we kind of got our heads together, and I was still going to college when I agreed to do this, plus still working at the paper. So I just added that to my plate.
You mentioned Judge Stories was just getting started. What was that?
Well, that's the local theatrical troupe in town here that, of course, Paul's a big advocate for it also, and he's been involved with them. And they formed a local theatrical troupe. And when we fixed the stage up, which that's another story in itself, in 1988, Dick and I put our finances together and our heads together and fixed the stage up, which had been shut down since basically the late 40s, early 40s. So we resurrected the stage and made that so we could put live theater on again. And then Judge Stories came on board that immediately. I mean, they base their kind of their home base out of theater now since 1988. So that's been a wonderful relationship that we've had with them too. So
another great thing that's been happening up there in recent years is our storytelling festival held the third weekend of September every year. And Todd's been very kind to cooperate with us in providing a venue for that. Now, we have nationally known storytellers who perform in that festival, and talking with them, and they've traveled all over the world, they love to perform at the Story Theater and Opera House. And so it's really become a great performance venue, and most of my memory as a boy, it was strictly, by that time, a motion picture theater. And as Todd and Dick restored the performance area, well, that's really enhanced the whole. You can put 20 people in the orchestra pit. And so we can do a full Broadway show with, the union on Broadway says 20 musicians. We can get very close to that. So we can put on a full-blown Hollywood production. Todd and Dick installed this wonderful, beautiful curtain, and the backstage is preserved in a unique way. It is on the National Registry of Historic Places. So, as Todd mentioned, it's never closed as a movie theater. And there are just so many wonderful stories we all have in Story City of going to the theater. And I used to bounce around in the back of a 49 Ford and ride up to see Abbott and Costello and Dean Martin and Ma and Pa Kettle. And I still drive up there on Friday nights with that same wonderful anticipation of going to a movie. I just don't bounce around in the back seat or I'd go off the road. But I'm still going to the movies, and I'm so thankful for all of us in Story City that Todd has maintained this and had that unbroken chain. But Todd, you might share with our audience now the fact that movie theaters, as we've heard from our other theater people, it's really in a state of transition. And where are you in that process now?
Well, listening to the other theaters, the obviously Jefferson and Webster City, they've gone the nonprofit route. So that's a whole different way of doing things, and it's a wonderful way to do it. And I, being a sole proprietor here, it's a little more, it's a little bit more of an uphill climb, we'll put it that way. So, and we're also a town of, 3,400 people as opposed to Boone and Jefferson and Webster City are a little larger, as is Nevada. So we have, the population base here, I guess I want to say, for Story City. You run into conflicts with Friday night football and basketball and all the events that this progressive community, as we all know, Story City is quite active. And you run into that with just being open, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's, your time gets squeezed a little bit. So we have to do our digital. We know that. And we've been doing a couple live shows this summer that will help with that fundraising. So we have a couple more coming up. And, I'm not one to have my hand out. And when you do that with as sole proprietor, it's a little touchy. You hope that the community will support you. And from the the talk and the people I've talked to, they're they obviously don't want to see the theater close, and I'm going to try with all my might to hopefully not let that happen. So, and we may have to go down the nonprofit route down the road. I mean, you know, when I'm ready to retire, I suppose we might have to address that issue. But it's an exciting time. I'm kind of sad to see the film go. I mean, if you go up, you can take a trip back in time when you go up to the booth and watch the film winding its way through the projector and hear the clickety clack of the sprockets. It's something that's going to be it's going to be hard to see that go. You're putting to bed a 100-year technology that it's been around a long time.
Yeah, it's going to be a sea change, because how much longer will Hollywood be shipping out 35-millimeter film, Todd?
Well, and that's kind of how why we haven't done it yet here. Obviously, one's finances, but the other is they're still making 35. It's just that they're very minimal. I'm finding that some of the film companies are being a little bit, they're holding back. They realize that there's still some of us out there. At first, it sounded like they were just going to immediately set this date and cut it off, and then if you haven't done it yet, you were just out of luck. But some of them have pulled back on that. It's been nice to hear that. I'm just basically biding my time. When we find out that it's actually going to end, I've got these guys down in Des Moines that have serviced my booth for years that are just kind of waiting. They've given me a bid, you know, and we'll cross that bridge when we're ready to. They just said, well, give me a call when you're ready to do it. So that's what we're going to do.
But
so,
as you mentioned, it's very different between the private proprietorship and the not-for-profit or the community-supported. I'm sure that the community-supported and nonprofit is eligible for grant money and other funding sources that you're not, as a
right.
proprietor, eligible to have. Is that correct, Todd?
Yeah, that's that frees up a lot of. Of course, you know, people who do donate to a nonprofit can write that off on their taxes. With a sole proprietor, you don't have that luxury. I guess you have to just you handle it a little bit differently. And like I said, we may have to. I'm not saying down the road that it might be at a good fit. You know, for the future, that maybe a nonprofit status would be the way to go for this. Since, for one, the theater is actually a part of the hotel complex that houses City Hall. So, the City Hall is also part of the National Registry. So,
well, I think that you're to be credited with still running it as a business. And the theater operators we've talked with today are the people involved with theaters. You are still a proprietor of a business, and so is Wayne Lumley and Boone. The other folks we talked to had been part of this nonprofit resurgence of volunteer effort to sustain a theater. So there are two ways of coming about keeping the live movie theater experience available in Story County. And over in Nevada, we've talked with Larry, who's got a live performance venue exclusively. So look at all the different ways of doing business and presenting movies and entertainment we have in our listening area here. It's been very, very fine. And Todd, we really thank you for coming in today. Susan, do you have any more questions for Todd?
Well, I guess not that we have time for.
You probably could go on. But Todd and I could talk for hours.
But as you talk about the...
Yeah, we could go on and on. I know that you're ready to wrap it up, I'm sure. But maybe we can do that another time.
I think that probably movies will come back in our programming sometime. But I have a question about business models. Since you own the Story City Herald as well as the movie theater, does that make it a media conglomerate?
Well, actually, I sold the newspaper I sold two years ago.
Oh, you don't own the Herald anymore.
I'm still here as editor, but I sold it to the Tribune 2 years ago.
Oh, so that's another media conglomerate, I guess.
Yes.
Okay, well.
But I'm still here, and I still have a job, and they kept me as editor. So I still love doing that, too. I've been doing that. It was a family business also since the early 70s, so I've been a newspaper man for quite a while, too. So,
well,
they're right across the street from one another. So
this is the beauty of small towns.
Well, Todd has the same jobs he had when he was 14. He works at the theater and the paper.
Exactly.
That's longevity.
Yeah, but I still live on the same street that I grew up on.
That's right.
I haven't left Broad Street, and I haven't left Lafayette Street.
Well, as time goes, someday we'll owe you a gold watch, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, there's lots of history on the theater, and maybe some other time that we can really dwell on that, because it was started with vaudeville and silent movies, and so, and there's some stories that I was told by Dick through all the years that we could share. It would take up a lot of time, and Paul and I, we'll have to do that sometime.
Okay, that's great, Todd. Yeah.
thank you so much. Great wrap up for our call-ins. We hoped we had a little more time in case somebody had discovered any more movie theaters. We have a little different ending for this show because we're starting Shout Out Wednesdays. In the future weeks, we hope to bring in many more voices from our 7-county listening area, telling us about local events, history, and business, as well as stories from the people who live in the towns that dot our landscape.
Let me take just a minute to describe the 7-county listening area I've been talking about. The 5 towns with the theaters are Nevada and Story City in Story County, Webster City in Hamilton County to the north and northwest, Boone in Boone County to the west, and further west in Greene County we have Jefferson. We also include large areas of rural Marshall County, North Polk, and that corner of Hardin County put on the map by the Randall Fine Arts Council.
Building community through communication is more than a motto here at KHOI. It's our mission, and one of the ways we hope to accomplish it is through Shout Out Wednesdays.
Well, now, a reminder, if people call into the station during the week, they need to use the regular station number here at KHOI. That's 515-292-2878. Our shout-out call number is different than that, so just leave your phone number if you have any suggestions or ideas for future shows by calling that 292-2878 number. And then, if you do that, Susan can get back to you and plan whatever activity for that show that you might have to present. So call 292-2878. That's our KHOI number.
We have to go out with a little nostalgic movie music.
A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as
this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 89.1. It's Shout Out Wednesday, which we devote to the people, stories, and events of our 7-county listening area right here in central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Paul Wearson, together with my co-host, Susan Franson.
Local Talk is engineered by Rebecca Brown. The classic movie music heard today was selected by Tom Beal. He is the host of Movie Masterpieces, broadcast every Friday on KHOI, just following our Friday Local Talk. You can hear it again on Saturday at 4 p.m. as well.
The selections of movie music you heard were from The Wizard of Oz, Camelot, Titanic, The Lion King, Tarzan, and Casablanca.
Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
Well, now, if you enjoyed this show, tell your friends about it and consider becoming one of the 500 families donating $20 a month or $250 per year to help us meet our operating expenses. Though we'd appreciate whatever fits into your budget if you see fit to contribute. Our station is almost completely volunteer-run, and we'd also like to hear your feedback, either by phone at 515-292-2878 or by email. We're at khoiradio@gmail.com with shout-out in the subject line. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show, and if you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us once again at 515-292-2878 or at the email address we just listed.
Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening and
see you again on the radio. We say that together.
across the distance and spaces between us. You have come to show you. Go on. Near, far, wherever. One true time I hold to.